south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, now you're going to learn something, I hope. Today, a brand new boots on the ground story that happened to me as I was helping an older gringo, 70-something guy, a friend of mine, who suffers from one of the chronic problems longtime gringos seem to have. That is, he knows very little Spanish and doesn't seem to want to learn it. Claims he's too old and you can't teach an old dog new tricks and all that. So he often needs someone, a bilingual someone, to hold his hand. But that's just one small point we're going to hit on in this story. It's just more proof and another indication that you could live down here a long, long time. And there'll be lots of things you still don't understand. Even if your Spanish gets there and it's pretty good. There will be many surprises and sometimes a bit of confusion, and you'll need to lean on people to get things done. So anyway, this 70-something guy came down to Latin America to live permanently when he was about 67 years old. And unfortunately, being a typical American gringo, he had lots of little medical problems. You do if you're the average overweight, sedentary gringo of that age. So when he went looking for Latin American insurance policies to get some coverage, he found out that almost all of them wouldn't accept him anymore. Because most of them have a cutoff date of 64 years old. In other words, if you're 65, you can't get on the plan. And with some plans, the cutoff date is 59 years old. So anyway, when he came down 5 or 6 years ago, he was already past the age of 64, so he kind of gave up on getting private health care insurance. Though I have to mention, since then, just a couple of years ago, some private insurance companies have been offering plans to people over 64 years old. Senior citizen plans, even a couple of those very good bank insurance plans, like the Banco Industrial Insurance Plan in Guatemala. They introduced a senior citizen plan too. You longtime listeners have heard me talk about bank insurance plans. That's a very common thing here in Latin America. You open up a bank account, even put $100 in, and all of a sudden, you're eligible. In fact, you and your whole family are eligible for a bank-affiliated private healthcare insurance, and some of them are very good plans. I know it's hard to believe, but once you open a bank account, most banks will offer a healthcare insurance plan that has various levels, good, better, best. And for gringos and expats, I always recommend get the best plan. It's only something like $100 a month. Come on. It's even harder to believe they offer family plans starting at $35 or $45 a month. Whoa. Remember, they have a good, better, and best plan. That means the best family plan might cost $100 or $125 a month. But it's very complete. For example, let's take Guatemala. The best bank-affiliated healthcare insurance plan is one offered by Banco Industrial. Just get a bank account and you can get on it. It used to be the very best standout plan, but now other banks are offering very competitive plans too. Now, I mentioned the cutoff age to get on those plans is either 59 or 64, but even Banco Industrial, who have one of the best plans, is offering a senior citizen plan now. It's a little more expensive with a little less coverage than some of their better plans. But it is a good way to get a private insurance plan, whether you're 65, 70, or even 75 years old. I mentioned that their top plan's around $100 a month for a single guy 50 years old. Well, the senior plan, if you sign up and you're 64 and older, is around $125 a month, though with some reduced benefits. But it's still good. Wow, $125 a month. What a tragedy. So anyway, here's what happened with my 70-something-year-old gringo buddy. When he came down, there were no private insurance plans available because of his age. That was 5 or 6 years ago. He didn't care all that much because he knew how ridiculously inexpensive the healthcare costs are here in Latin America. Even so, at the time, he really had no choice but to do without, go out of pocket. So anyway, a couple of weeks ago, he went to a GI specialist. Without insurance, it cost him $35 for the office visit and the workup. He was having some stomach issues. And his doctor ordered some blood tests and pelvic CAT scan or tomograph with contrast. Remember, he doesn't have insurance and it's all out-of-pocket costs. Now, this guy goes back to the States once a year around Christmas time. And thinking about what something like that might cost up in the States, he checked it out on the internet and he found that the average scan of a pelvis, a CT scan using contrast material, was around $1,400. That was the national average up in the States. So anyway, this gringo guy called me and asked my opinion about what clinic or hospital he should go to to have that CAT scan done locally. Knowing, of course, that he was paying out of pocket, I said, let's check out two or three different places. He said, why? Don't they all cost the same? Don't they all use the same equipment and the same payment schedules? I said, yeah, they all use the same equipment, but the costs will vary dramatically. And it's not about whether you have insurance or pay cash. It's the fact that here in Latin America, they grade the hospitals and clinics. And depending on your hospital, clinic, or laboratory rating, you pay a different price for different treatments. Oftentimes down here, you'll see clinics and hospitals and laboratories rated with an A through C system, A, B, and C. With clinic and hospital A being the most expensive, B, average, and C, sort of a budget hospital or clinic. Now again, we're talking about private hospitals and clinics, the only kind gringos and expats should ever frequent. We're not talking about the public national healthcare hospitals and clinics, because most of them are just pure medieval. In fact, they're such crap, I always tell gringos and expats, unless you get in a car accident right in front of a public hospital, under any other circumstances, and as soon as the ambulance comes, you say, hospital privado, por favor. That means, take me to the nearest private hospital, please. Say it loud and clear. Hospital privado, por favor. And chances are, if you've been living in Latin America for a while, you'll actually know the name of the private hospital you like the best. Or not, it doesn't matter, because the ambulance driver will usually ask you, if you're conscious, what hospital you want to go to. But back to this hospital and clinic A, B, and C business. Now, of course, you're thinking you want to go to an A hospital or clinic, because it's going to be the best, right? No way you want to go to a hospital or a clinic that's got a C rating. That's what all gringos and expats think when they first find out hospitals and clinics are graded like that. But here's what you didn't know. That grading system has nothing to do with the quality or the treatments you get at those hospitals. It has everything to do with location. And an A hospital or clinic will always be more expensive than a B or a C one, even though they all are affiliated hospitals and clinics and the same docs and nurses are rotating through on a scheduled basis. They've got the same high-tech equipment and technology. But still, a Class C hospital or clinic is a lot less expensive than a Class A. So you have to ask, why is that? How could that be? And how do hospitals and clinics get rated A, B, or C? Well, it's like this. An A-rated hospital or clinic is in a very upscale neighborhood or business district in a small, medium, or large Latin American metropolitan area. In other words, you'll find Class A hospitals and clinics wherever you find upscale hotels and malls and expensive houses. And man, those hospitals and clinics will look first world all the way. Nice, modern architecture, beautiful designs, spick and span inside, great lighting, new furniture, a lot of glass and open spaces, expensive marble, granite, and teak details, great gardening and artwork. Let's face it, you want to be in a nice environment when you're sick. If you're recuperating in a hospital room, you don't want to be looking out at a motorcycle traffic jam, a brick factory, or a cell tower. In an A hospital or clinic, you'll have none of that. So then, what about the B hospitals and clinics? Well, you'll find those in middle-class residential areas. Maybe a half-hour ride or so outside the central business and upscale hotel districts. They're generally buildings that aren't so new anymore, showing a little bit of wear and tear, and they do get a lot more patient flow and wear and tear than an A hospital or a clinic. Kind of look like hospitals and clinics looked back in the 80s and 90s, is where we come from. So when you walk in, they've got that kind of 80s and 90s institutional look. Though again, the equipment and all the technology is modern and up to date, and the doctors and nurses rotate through various hospitals and clinics, so you will get the same level of care that you get in a Class A hospital. But man, those B and C hospitals, clinics, and laboratories are crowded, and there are long waits and lines. In the end, for the patient anyway, it's all about the cost. For example, let's say you need some kind of treatment or surgery, let's say gallbladder, or elective surgery, like plastic surgery, whatever. Your Latino doctor will give you some options. He'll say we can do it at an A hospital for $3,000, at a B hospital for $2,800, or a C hospital or clinic for $2,200. Your choice. Note, you'll still have your own doctor, his team, his anesthesiologist, nurses, whatever. But the treatment price will vary depending on the location. Now, I've been to all three kinds of hospitals and clinics, the A, B, and C. Believe me, I know the drill. And I have to say, the ones that are rated C can be in some pretty scruffy neighborhoods. And here's the other thing. If you go to a B or a C hospital or clinic, they're almost always super crowded because they're cheaper than the A hospital clinics and labs. They're the number one choice of the common man. That is, the common man who's got insurance. Though, down here in Latin America, if you got insurance, you're not quite the common man. You've heard me say before that less than 10% of Latin Americans have private health insurance. And really, the only reason why even 10% of Latinos have private healthcare insurance is that their companies are starting to give it to them, especially the transnationals like Starbucks, McDonald's, Sears, Ace Hardware, Walmart, Costco, and Taco Bell, Kentucky Fried, and my personal favorite, Chucky Cheese. Yep, Chucky in Spanish is Chucky, so it's Chucky Cheese. But I digress as usual. Anyway, down here in Latin America, you and your doctor can negotiate where you're going to have that gallbladder or nose job done. But still, the way it works down here, most insurance companies will pay 80% of the cost of an A clinic, hospital, or lab, and 90 to 100% of a B clinic, hospital, or lab, and they'll pay 100% of a Class C clinic, hospital, or lab. Though there is some variation between insurance companies, it's pretty obvious why the B and C clinics are always pretty crowded. By the way, that's why when you walk into an A clinic, hospital, or laboratory, they're almost never crowded, and you never have to wait much at all to get ushered into the lab or get your treatment started. In fact, before the COVIDia thing, I'd always take my seminar groups to an A-class hospital, and they'd always be amazed to see that the place was so empty and uncrowded, with just a handful of patients in the emergency room reception area. But man, you go to one of those B or C hospitals. Everywhere you go, you got to take a number and stand in line. So my advice to gringos and expats who have Latin American healthcare insurance, there's really no point to go to a B or a C hospital or clinic unless you've got way more time than money, because you will be standing around waiting in line. Now, if you don't mind doing that, and I hate it myself, then okay. By the way, when you buy and get accepted in a Latin American insurance plan and they give you the documentation, you know, when you pay your first premium, well, if you look through the contract, and the contract's usually 6 or 8 pages long, they spell out their coverage and co-payments, listing those A, B, and C hospitals, clinics, and labs, and their locations too. By the way, with some Latin American insurance plans, they'll only have type A and B clinics and hospitals, not A, B, and C. Don't ask me why. These things vary a lot from city to city and country to country and insurance plan to insurance plan. There's no cut and dried formula, but it'll all be spelled out in the documentation once you get on an insurance plan. Oh, and some plans won't call out hospitals, clinics, and labs as A, B, or C, or A and B. They'll just have, for example, a blanket 80 or 90% coverage for whatever hospital, clinic, or lab you pick. And then your copayment will be 10 or 20%. And just like in the States, some healthcare plans down here will have a list of doctors, clinics, and hospitals where they'll pay 100% coverage, like in a first world HMO plan. Those are the hospitals, doctors, and clinics that are affiliated on the list in their plan. And generally, there could be hundreds of doctors in your plan. But if you go to any other hospital or clinic or doctor outside their list, then they'll pay 80 or 90%. Again, it depends on your insurance company, but be aware that down here, it's a bit different than what you're used to up in the States. That's why, by the way, if you don't speak Spanish, it's very difficult finding the right insurance plan. You'll need someone to do your translating for you, because nearly all the plans here are in Spanish. And that means that 6 or 8 page contract document you get when you sign on will be in Spanish too. In fact, for my seminar people, I took one of those contracts and translated it into English just so they'd be able to see how it differs from insurance contracts up in the States and to be able to suss it out for themselves. All right, enough said about that. Now, to the case of my 70-something gringo buddy who needed to have some lab work done, specifically a pelvic CAT scan with contrast, a test that would cost him on average $1,400 in the States. So naturally, since it was out of his pocket, he was price shopping. And me being curious about the breakdown myself, I offered to take him around and translate for him. First stop, a type A imaging laboratory. We walked in and moseyed over to the radiographic imaging department. And being a Class A hospital slash clinic, there were no long lines and no wait at all. And the lady at the appointment desk gave an estimate of around $280 for the scan, which turned out to be actually 3 different scans. That's how they do a pelvic contrast scan. One normal scan, then one scan after you drink some terrible crap, and one scan after you inject a contrast dye into your veins. So the non-insurance estimate there, $280. Then off we went to a type B imaging clinic. It was about 30 minutes away in a normal middle class by Latin standards, which is kind of lower middle class up in the States. We found a parking place about a block away, walked into the waiting room, every chair was filled, with about 10 people standing. So we walked up to the little machine, pulled out a number, number 56. They were serving number 22, so I thought, no gringo advantage here. Though after about 10 minutes of standing around and they were still on number 22, I decided to take a chance. I walked up to the cashier and I said, approximately how much would it be for a pelvic contrast scan? Well, she didn't seem bothered that I skipped the line. No one seemed to care. In fact, she seemed glad to do it. Maybe it was because we were the only gringos in the whole place. Anyway, she looked at her computer, punched in a few keys, and came up with a figure. $190. Now, that was a Monday, and she said, you'll have to come on Wednesday morning early at 7 o'clock. It's first come, first serve. No fixed appointments. And I knew what that meant. That meant hurry up and wait, standing in an untold number of lines. By the way, I forgot to mention, at the A clinic we first went to, where it was around $300, you paid right there and they gave you an appointment for the following day or the next day, whatever. Sure, it was more dough, but fewer unknowns, like how many lines you'd have to stand in. And finally, after we left that B-rated clinic, we went to a C-rated clinic in a pretty scruffy neighborhood. Lots of noise, chicken buses, and wrecked cars driving by. Definitely not an upscale neighborhood. And when we got within a block of the imaging clinic, although we'd never been there before, we could see exactly where it was by the line stretching out to the front sidewalk. This time, there was a rent-a-cop outside handing out numbers. Luckily, that gringo advantage was holding out, and I asked the guy if I could just pop in and see how much it cost to get that scan. I told him I just had a question, an inquiry as to how much it would cost. We weren't there to get any kind of scan or lab work. And you know, if I wouldn't have opened my mouth, we would have ended up in a line for a half hour or more just to ask that question. Well, that gringo advantage kicked in. He said, come with me, and he ushered us in. And when we posed that question to the cashier slash front desk lady, she said, a pelvic scan with contrast costs a grand total of $130. But again, there were no appointments. You show up, first come, first serve. Doors open at 7 a.m., she said, but if you want to get served fast, get here on the day you want your exam by 6 a.m. You heard right, 6 a.m. So there you have it, folks. I just went through a gringo boots on the ground healthcare story describing what the healthcare system is really like. And I don't suppose anyone anywhere on any program or blog on the internet has bothered to explain this thing about A, B, and C hospital clinics and labs. Not with this kind of detail, anyway. Now, to bring this information full circle, you know how lately I've been talking about stem cell clinics and how stem cell injections, they're often used to treat bad shoulder, knee, and hip joints. The thing is, before you get those injections, your stem cell doctor is going to make you get some CAT scans of those joints, tomographs, so that he's got a three-dimensional picture of exactly where he's got to inject those stem cells. Now, if you've been listening to the last couple of months of these shows, you'll know I took my brother to the stem cell clinic in the DR, and he had three CAT scans done. They were required before he got his injections. He had a scan of each knee and a scan of his bad shoulder. And because he was paying out of pocket to save him some money, I took him to a type B imaging clinic where each scan cost him slightly under $200. Remember, these are not scans with contrast and dyes injected and such. They're much simpler. The thing is, though, I could have taken him to a type C clinic and each of those scans would have cost him around $100 apiece. But he figured it wasn't worth waiting in the sun in one of those uncomfortable lines. So anyway, by now I think you're getting the idea on how things work here in Latin America. Bottom line, even if you go to the more expensive type A hospital clinics and labs, you'll find there's something like a fifth to a sixth the price of what you'd pay out of pocket up in the States if you didn't have insurance. And if you really want to pinch pennies and you've got a lot more time than money, you could take a number and stand in lots of lines and get the same results by going to a B or C rated hospital, clinic, or lab. Your choice. It's up to you. Oh, and one last thing. If you don't speak any Spanish at all, you're much better off going to an A-type clinic, hospital, or lab. Why? Well, since they're in nicer, upper-scale neighborhoods and districts, and mostly serve upper-middle-class people with more dough, that means you'll have no trouble finding people who speak English there. That as opposed to a type B or C hospital or clinic, where English speakers are far and few in between. Sure, most doctors will speak English, but that's about it. Just saying. All right, now here's an email that surely tops them all, at least for 2022. Now, if you don't find something to like or hate about this one, then I guess when you were born, the doctor should have slapped your mom instead of you. This comes from a Chicago Irishman named Darby O'Shaughnessy. I like that. I wonder if that's real. He says, Johnny, top of the morning to you. You know, Johnny, we're coming up on the greatest feast of all time, March 17, St. Paddy's Day. He says, while everyone's wearing green, kissing shamrocks and drinking green beer, and celebrating St. Paddy's Day to excess, while all that's fine and good, there's something very serious I have to mention today. It's been bothering me for ages, and especially when March 17th comes around. Often, he says, when I'm tipping a few single malt whiskeys, I think about who secretly runs the media in the world. Again, some think it's Gates, Soros, the Jews, the Chinese, or Russian bots. Nope. I'll let you in on a little secret. It's the Irishmen. The Irish are secretly running the world, and while they're at it, getting even for all the wrongdoing that's been handed to them over the ages, mostly by the bloody British. It's about time the Irish finally get to run the world. Yes, it's our turn to pull the wool over the eyes of the world. We want them to think we are just a bunch of drunks, cops, and barstool philosophers singing Danny Boy. Meanwhile, our secret plan is rolling out nicely. Of course, you'd be asking why. Why the Irish now? First off, there is the 6 million souls lost in the potato famine, all due to those Brits. No, you'll hear no mention of that on the lame street news. Alas, Johnny, the world is full of potato famine deniers. Us Irish will never forget those 6 million souls. Now is our time to get even. And who was directly responsible for that catastrophe? Nope, you'll never hear the lame street media tell the unvarnished truth. Not a single mention of that catastrophic 19th century climate change disaster caused by the Brits that took out the entire potato crop. Today's science, however, tells us it was a plan, a direct result of the million-plus farting British horses in London. It'll go down in history as the Great British Horse Flatulence Conspiracy. And one might ask, what became of those thousands of tons of horse droppings? You don't know? Well, let me fill you in. Their poo ended up on the feet of every working-class Irishman, day after day, contaminating the threshold of home sweet home and all our pubs. Yes, those devil Brits planned it all, and there must be reparations. 1 acre and 40 sacks of potatoes for every McHenry, O'Leary, and O'Brien. Yes, the Brits will have to pony up, or face an Irish fatwa. Yes, for the Brits, the fates have turned sour, and when it rains, it pours. Now they have the tragedy of Brexit and the pound floating free. No longer tied to the euro, they can run the printing presses till hell freezes over and further destroy their once mighty empire. Meanwhile, the cost of potatoes worldwide is skyrocketing. Another cunning, underhanded British trick. Thank God the tables have turned and it's the dark web Irish secret societies running everything now, not the Brits or the Welsh or the bloody transgender Scots with their fairy pipers and girly skirts. Anyhow, Johnny, just thought I'd warn you about the Irish fatwa. It's coming. Or as we call it in Old Killarney, a Mick fatwa. If you don't believe me, you can look it up on the Black Irish web. And Johnny, one more thing. A question. What do local Latinos and gringos think of all the light-skinned Irish illegals flooding in from Europe into Latin America? I'm wondering how they blend in when they get down there, if they blend in at all. Though, I'm thinking, Latin America must surely need beat cops, bartenders, politicians, poets, and paddy wagon drivers, Guinness drinkers, and whiskey makers. Anyway, Johnny, happy St. Paddy's Day to you. Signed, Darby O'Shaughnessy. Late from Boston, presently kicking off my Plan B in Panama. Well, thanks for that, Darby. What can I say? If that really is your name. But I can tell you this, Mr. D. You don't see many pure Irish people in Latin America. And when you do run into one of those guys or gals, man, do they burn. The tropical sun is not forgiving to that Irish skin. Most of them I've run into are beet red. Though I have to say, Mr. D, there's lots and lots of Irish whiskey drunk throughout Latin America, mainly Johnny Walker. I believe I mentioned probably hundreds of shows ago now. For some reason, Johnny Walker brand got the jump on all whiskeys throughout Latin America. And now, anyone who's anybody, I'm talking about Latino males now, has a bottle of Johnny Walker Black stashed around the house. Now, this in no way applies to Latin American females. They just don't drink whiskey. But Latino men, when they go into a bar and want to impress someone, they order Johnny Walker Black. Same thing when company comes over. They'll dig out that hidden bottle of Johnny Walker Black. But that's only when they're around people. When they're at home drinking alone, it'll be Johnny Walker Red or something much cheaper. Oh, and I've been to a lot of Latino weddings too, and the standard setup is to have a bottle of Johnny Walker Black on every table. Now, there is a rumor going around as to how Johnny Walker Black became the Latin American go-to brand. As it turns out, early on, maybe 30 or 40 years ago, when Johnny Walker and other whiskeys first appeared in a big way in Latin America. No one was really drinking any particular brand of whiskey yet, mostly beer and rum. Well, it turns out a lot of whiskey brands came in, tried to penetrate the market, and failed. But Johnny Walker took off because of a clever marketing scheme. The Johnny Walker distributors would hire a couple of beautiful Latina models, dress them up in a tux and tails like you see on the Johnny Walker logo, send them out to events like beauty pageants, car races, beach parties and such, and their job was to mingle with the crowd and give out free samples. Free samples and shots of Johnny Walker, that is. Well, nothing grabs a guy's attention better than a beautiful girl giving out free samples, right? And that was how Johnny Walker became king of the whiskeys in Latin America. And about their competition, there's not another brand that runs even a close second. But back to old Darby and that St. Paddy's Day email. You know, Mr. D, some down here in Latin America say Peru is where the pot of gold is for the Irish diaspora. Sure, Peru has lots of rainbows, but they also have over 50 kinds of potatoes. Oh, and one last thing. You know, Mr. D, I'm from Chicago, and you know, we always turn the Chicago River green on St. Paddy's Day. I'm sure that's always been a non-toxic and 100% environmentally friendly thing to do, huh? Oh, and don't forget all that green beer and green dye number 17. Oh, and one last thing, Mr. D. You know, every medium and large Latin American city seems to have an Irish pub. And believe me, there's no local Latino that could set one of these things up. It's got to be a true blue Irlandés. That's what Irish people are called down here in Latin America. Irlandés or Irlandesas. So if you're visiting down here in Latin America or have got your plan B going down here and you're longing for the atmosphere of a real Irish pub, don't worry, you'll find one. Oh, and true to form, you go into one of those pubs, you'll find quite a few Irish people hanging out. And since the Irish are quick with a quip and a phrase, I've noticed myself that oftentimes a fight or a skirmish will break out. In fact, a few years ago when my band was playing the bar circuit throughout most of Central America, we played in a number of Irish pubs because the patrons of those places like English-speaking rock and roll music. And the one thing that comes to mind for me is that it seemed almost every weekend, someone there would start a fight, they'd come to blows, and in the end end up shaking hands, drinking together, becoming best buddies, at least for that night. Now, that's something you almost never see with Latinos. When they get in a bar fight, it's almost always a macho jealousy thing. It's almost always over a woman, and they never end up shaking hands, having a few makeup drinks, and becoming best buddies. That's not going to happen. But you knew that already, right? Or did you?
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.